עניין של חיים ומוות. דוקטור טל פטלון, בשיחות על הגבול הדק שבין החיים למוות.
Welcome to another episode of A Matter of Life and Death, where we talk about the small dash between the first birthday and the last. So happy to be here with Dr. Netta Maimon, music cognition researcher. Netta, what is cognition researcher and music together, combined? What does it mean?
It's magic.
There's nothing like magic. We love magic.
I think every one of us is aware that music has a tremendous power on us. I think that anyone will agree. And also, you know, that research shows us the same thing. So if you randomly ask a person what are the top five things that they like to do, music is at the top five. Voluntarily, people say that in 97% of the population. And we have cognition, which is our brain and how the brain works and how we have no idea how the brain works, right? And there's a way in which we can combine our knowledge or the power of music to understand the brain, how the brain works. And when that happens, that's magic.
So is it like that you learn my basic brain activity and then it's personalized music that I would be comfortable with? Or is it like one size fits all?
That's very interesting. I think that the end of it can be totally personalized, generated, you know, there are AI generating music already.
What do you think about that?
The Meta AI now is music gen is not that good. It will be. I think that by the end of the day, people don't listen to music just because it's the personalized music. They also listen to music because they know who's singing to them. And that's a real person. I think that's very, very important in music. That's called the agency. So when we listen to music, it's not just that it's the super personalized thing that we need to hear right now. That's like the end goal. What I do now with the device is, okay, take the general stuff and just to map the universal understandings for now. So if we want to look at clinical problems that are very common, worldwide, let's take cognitive decline. So cognitive decline happens. People are older and then there's a cognitive decline in some point.
It's like we have wrinkles. It also happens, you know. We get older, we have wrinkles. It's like built in that on the time process. So it's the same. Cognitive decline is like part of our lives. I feel it today.
I hope not.
So tell me you can help us.
So to help you, we need to first detect it very early. How early do we need to detect it? Before anyone notices it.
So how can you help us detect it early? Before we even notice it, like before anyone knows. Can you do that?
We need to measure the brain. How many times a year do you go to your clinic and measure your brain activity?
Well, we don't do that. We just do an ECG probably. Right, yeah, so that right. We measure the electrical activity of the heart. And you're saying you want to measure the electrical activity of the brain.
If we want to assess the brain, we need to first assess the brain. We have a device, and now what do we do? How does the assessment look like? And that's where I go in and I say, it can be music. It can be many things. It's not music because everything else doesn't work. I say, okay, but we have the power of music and we can combine it. So music can activate your brain. I can ask you to do some cognitive challenges when you hear the music. But music can also decrease your brain activity. You can also be meditating while listening to music and maybe arouse the default mode network and not the high functioning frontal network of the brain. So we have various possibilities with music, and this is what I did. I assembled a 15 minutes or so assessment with music, either activating, challenging different levels that can be reached by everyone with cognitive decline, without cognitive decline, with severe or moderate cognitive decline, or with mild cognitive decline. And they were all were able to do the test, even enjoy it. Not only not be stressful while doing a test. Have you ever done a test when you're not stressed? That's
great.
Right.
It's very difficult. So you're saying it's relaxing.
It's even relaxing. It's even comfortable. We put the electrode on the forehead. We press play and we go out. And the person can sit and listen alone. So first thing, there is nobody next to him to see whether they're good or not. So that's the first stressful thing. But the second not stressful thing is that they hear music. And it's comfortable and nice and unstressful. And the anxiety levels are lower. And that enables them to even perform better in the test itself. And then I take that brain activity and I analyze it in the most musical way I can do with numbers and statistics, which I also very like. And that's it. We can measure the brain with music. Music cognition can help us detect cognitive decline even earlier than the clinical signs. And we have indications for that as well.
How many people did you test?
We have extensive clinical researchers. We have some pilots. Also, we started collecting data of Parkinson's, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's. So we have different states. I think a few hundreds all in all in many clinical centers.
So let's talk in general. You're saying that music can affect brain activity. That's true for any age, right? Any time of day.
I don't need to be a music cognition researcher to know that.
Right.
Sure.
But from your research and your experience and your even profession, because you are a professional cellist player, right?
Right.
How do you explain the impact of music on not just the brain activity, because that's like it goes without saying, because whenever we are exposed to any sound, the brain is activated, but more on the emotional level. So would you say that some kinds of music as a frequency is provoking a specific emotion?
I think you cannot really purely detach and say that it's about a specific frequency, because we're humans and we live in a culture, and you cannot detach the brain or the biology from our environment. Where we live, why do we love things that we love? We love chocolate. And I don't know if that's a universal frequency thing or it's because it's a culturistic thing. But music has the ability to affect the emotion very quickly. That's because the direct pathways to the amygdala, which is very deep in our brain.
Yeah, it's a structure in the brain that is responsible for emotions. So you're saying it's like penetrating it directly.
Directly, fastly, without any consciousness. And
what do you mean? What do you mean without any consciousness? You mean it like bypasses the thinking?
Exactly, exactly.
So it's like subconscious?
It's subconscious.
Effect?
Effect. Music has the ability to affect the emotions subconsciously and very fastly. It has a direct pathway because the information comes from the ears and the brainstem, then it goes directly to the amygdala and affects our emotions without our consciousness. So we can go to a place and feel uncomfortable in it. And just after a few seconds or maybe 30 seconds or even 1 minute, we will understand that the music is not to our taste. So it happens before we are even conscious to that. And that comes to our evolution, because the flight or fight instincts
mechanism
was the auditory system or sounds had the most effects on that instincts. Because in the jungle, when human beings were walking and they had to be very sensitive to sounds because they couldn't see everything in the jungle. Imagine the jungle. You need to be very sensitive to any type of sound the slightest sounds, and then you need to either fight or flight or freeze very quickly. And that makes us very, very sensitive to music till our days. Okay, so that's the basic thing. But on top of that, while affecting our emotions very quickly and unconsciously, it affects our prefrontal brain and memories and motor system because we want to move. So it does the whole other bunch of stuff altogether with that emotional impact. And that's the magic of all of it. Music can affect our brain quickly and many different centers of our brain. And that's unique. That's actually unique. That's not, that will not happen just from listening to a single note. Ooh, no. Music can do that because it combines the strong emotional fest effect and the cognitive memory movement and all the other stuff.
But you're saying it will affect me only if I connect to it. Probably it will not affect me as much, at least, if I don't connect, right?
Right. I think it...
Because it's like speech. Speech is also a type of music in a whole different way.
Yeah.
I mean, but it can be, at least, a type of music. It's also a frequency. And at the same time, it doesn't give the same effect.
It depends if it's a voice that you really like.
Right. Like maybe. If it's a mother listening to a child crying,
yeah,
for example, and she's, you know, for her, she's like, she's right there immediately.
Yeah.
But then it's all about the frequency.
Yeah. It's the frequency that affects you the most, that you're most sensitive to it. Yeah. And it depends on so many stuff.
And it's unconscious.
A huge part of it, yeah.
So how do you affect the unconscious?
With
how
music?
Do you affect, like, deliberately the unconscious? Not just, you know, accidentally, because then obviously we cannot control it. But you are saying that we can affect it directly, and we are affecting the unconscious of another person.
Right.
So how do you choose how to intervene?
If you were a music compositor, let's say. For movies. And let's say you're writing music for a horror movie.
Yes.
If you're a good compositor, you will know which notes or what do you need to write that people will be very afraid in the movie.
That's an amazing example.
And will think that they're afraid from what they're seeing. But no, absolutely not. They're afraid from what they're hearing. So it's totally unconscious.
Or both.
You know, but there have been research with that. When the horror movie is muted, people are unafraid. Are really, the horror levels are so low. You know, it becomes a comedy. Imagine the psycho scene. Going up the stairs with a bath rub, you know?
Huh?
It's comedy, it's funny. Without the music, it's funny. And that's a direct way to tap your unconsciousness with music. I don't do that within my assessment, though.
That's unfortunate, Neta, because we would expect that you would be a composer.
Right. So I don't, but although some of my assessment are little compositions of mine, but I use these kinds of traits that music has, and I know, and little things that I know will increase positive mood, decrease brain activity, or increase default mode network in meditation. I know what things in music can activate that without.
So you know the notes. You know the notes you have to play to evoke these specific feelings.
Feelings or brain states, right?
They are connected? Do you think they're connected? Feelings and the brain activity?
Yes.
Okay, so it's both, basically.
It's both.
If you
sure.
Influence one, you influence the other.
Sure.
So are you a composer?
Of brain assessments? Yes.
When you're playing the cello, Do you feel like you're entering a different zone of consciousness as opposed to just the, like any other state of consciousness?
I think so. When I do it good, or when I enjoy it, or in specific conditions, you know. But yeah, when we enter that zone, it's a very interesting place to be in.
Can you elaborate a little bit about it? Like, what is the difference in that state? Do you think it's similar to other states that people experience when they are very concentrated or focused on something? Or is it completely different and belongs just to musicians?
And that's my agenda. I think that music is very, very, very special. But I'm not sure that musicians are very, very, very special. I don't know how I keep on holding that agenda that music is the most amazing thing on earth, but musicians are simple people and they're just human beings. And that's
like
important.
Everyone else.
Exactly, like everyone else. And that mode, I think, something happens with the memory. So I also do some research about working memory and working memory load and memory load. But something happens, a disturbance in memory. When you go into the zone, you don't realize that you're there. And when you go out, you don't remember anything in it. So there's something very, very special about that place. I think some perception or perceptual thinking, the normal one, is lost there. The spatial perception, the time perception is totally different there. Stretched, accelerated, I'm not sure. Sometimes I get my hands numb, totally numb, sometimes not. And mostly I can remember what happened in there. Even when I watch myself playing. But is it special to musicians or to music? It's very, very special to a thing that you do for all of your life and you're totally invested in that. You're doing that day till night since you were very, very young, okay? And also it has a very strong emotional effect. And I don't know how many things are special in that way. It's a thing that people do for their choice. It's very emotional. And they also do it on stage. So it's a mix of things that maybe music is one of the few things that can do that. But I'm not sure that's all only special for musicians.
So it's like what you describe is very similar to what people describe while meditating, for example.
Right.
Or while playing sports.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or performing somewhere.
Exactly. But only if you do that with your whole
being.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are a meditator that do it constantly and living the moment, and even not in meditation, still living the moment and the mindfulness thinking, and when you go to the zone, you go to that zone, I believe it should be a close zone to that. There's also the performance stuff that it happens to me when I perform, when I do it on stage. It rarely happens when I play alone.
Unfortunately. Why do you think that is?
For me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm that kind of person. I thrive when people watch me.
It's interesting.
It's me. I don't know. It is what it is. It is what it is. I'm a performer. I'm a performer. And when I stopped playing professionally on stage, I needed to find a place that will give me the stage. So I found myself lecturing in the new university for hundreds of people, or going to, I don't know, TV shows, or being in podcasts. Because I need the stage. I really need the stage.
Will you go back to performing?
Yeah. Yeah, I will. I have, I also scheduled a few shows.
Good. Yes. Good for you.
Yeah.
What do you think about generative AI and music? So all this artificial music that we see right now being composed by the computers.
So there's the intellectual discussion that we can do, discussing how good is that right now. And I think the algorithms are not good as is right now, but it can be better in the future. So we can have the technological discussion of whether a machine will be able to create good music. But I prefer talking about agency. What's agency? When we listen to music, it's not only the thing that we need or like to hear. There's also a person behind that we would like to hear them. That singer that we like. We want them to sing to us. There's this special thing that happens when we go to concerts and we look at the singer and we are positive that they sing to us, right? And we know that they don't. We know that they're unable to see us, but we look at their eyes and we believe that now they're singing to me.
And you don't think we can believe that when we look at an avatar?
I think that needs to be our discussion right now in everything that involves AI.
Because for example, ChatGPT writes songs for me, you know, writes out papers for me, and books.
It could be amazing. They're good. And the music can be good. I don't know.
You're saying it's the personal connection.
There's a thing about the agency, the personal thing. I want to look them in the eyes and say, you sing to me right now.
What excites you the most?
Life is very exciting.
I agree. Totally Life agree.
The most exciting thing.
And what will be written on your tomb?
Netta.
Just private name. Just like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for hosting me here.
You're a very unusual woman.
Thank you.
Really, it's fascinating talking to you, learning from you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.